Good day, my beautiful African family. Welcome to my podcast. It is I and I, your host, Dumisho, aka Soweto, and I'm broadcasting live from South Africa. Today, our topic is about the real secret of power, which is consciousness of power. The real secret of power is consciousness of power. The universal mind is unconditional. Therefore, the more conscious we become of our unity with this mind, the less conscious we shall become of conditions and limitations. And as we become emancipated or freed from conditions, we come into a realization of the unconditional. We have become freed. As soon as we become conscious of the inexhaustible power of this world within, we begin to draw on this power and apply and develop the greater possibilities which this discernment has realized. Because whatever we become conscious of is invariably manifested in the objective world, is brought forth into tangible expression. This is because the infinite mind, which is the source from which all things proceed, is one and indivisible, and each individual is a channel whereby this eternal energy is manifested. Our ability to think is our ability to act upon this universal substance. And what we think is what is created or produced in the objective world. The result of this discovery is nothing less than marvelous and means that mind is extraordinary in quality, limitless in quantity, and contains possibilities without number. To become conscious of this power is to become a life wire. It has the same effect as placing an ordinary wire in contact with a wire that is charged. The universal is the life wire. It carries power sufficient to meet every situation which may arise in the life of every individual. When the individual mind touches the universal mind, it receives all the power it requires. This is the world within. All science recognizes the reality of this world, and all power is contingent upon our recognition of this world. The ability to eliminate imperfect condition depends upon mental action, and mental action depends upon consciousness of power. Therefore, the more conscious we become of our unity with the source of all power, the greater will be our power to control and master every condition. Large ideas have a tendency to eliminate all smaller ideas, so it is well to hold ideas large enough to counteract and destroy all small and undesirable tendencies. This will remove innumerable petty and annoying obstacles from your path. You will also become conscious of a larger world of thought, thereby increasing your mental capacity as well as placing yourself in a position to accomplish something of value. This is one of the secrets of success, one of the methods of organizing victory, one of the accomplishments of the masterminds. He thinks big thoughts. The creative energy of mind finds no more difficulty in handling large situations than smaller ones. Mind is just as much present in the infinite large as in the infinite small. When we realize these facts concerning mind, we understand how we may bring ourselves any condition created the corresponding condition in our consciousness. Because everything which is held of any length of time in the consciousness eventually becomes impressed upon the subconscious and thus become a pattern which the creative energy will weave into the life and environment of the individual. In this way, conditions are produced, and we find that our lives are simply the reflection of our predominant thoughts, our mental attitude. We see then that the science of correct thinking is the one science, that it includes all other sciences. From this science, we learn that every thought creates an impression on the brain, that these impressions create mental tendencies, and these tendencies create character, ability, and purpose, and that the combined action of character, ability, and purpose determines the experiences with which we shall meet in life. These experiences come to us through the law of attraction. Through the action of this law, we meet in the outer world the experiences which correspond to our world within. The predominant thought or the mental attitude is the magnet, and the law is that like attracts like. Consequently, the mental attitude will invariably attract such conditions as correspond to its nature. This mental attitude is our personality and is composed of the thoughts which we have been creating in our own mind. Therefore, if we wish a change in conditions, all that is necessary is to change our thought. This will in turn change our mental attitude, which will in turn change our personality, which will in turn change the persons, things and conditions, the experiences with which we meet in life. It is, however, no easy matter to change the mental attitude, but by persistent effort it may be accomplished. The mental attitude is a patterned after the mental pictures which have been photographed on the brain. If you do not like the pictures, destroy the negative and create new pictures. This is the art of visualization. As soon as you have done this, you will begin to attract new things, and the new things will correspond to the new pictures. To do this, impress on the mind a perfect picture of the desire which you wish to have objectified, and continue to hold the picture in the mind until results are obtained. If the desire is one which requires determination, ability, talent, courage, power, or any other spiritual power, these are necessary essential for your picture. Build them in. They are the vital part of the picture. They are the feeling which combines with thought and creates the irresistible magnetic power which draws the things you require to you. They give your picture life, and life means growth. And as soon as it begins to grow, the result is practically assured. Do not hesitate to aspire to the highest possible attainments in anything you may undertake, for the mind's forces are ever ready to lend themselves to a purposeful will in the effort to crystallize its highest aspiration into acts, accomplishments, and events. An illustration of how these forces operate is suggested by the method in which all our habits are formed. We do a thing, then do it again and again and again until it becomes easy and perhaps almost automatic. And the same rules applies in breaking any all bad habits. We stop doing a thing and then avoiding again and again until we are entirely free from it. And if we do not fail now, then we should by no means lose hope. For the law is absolute and invincible and gives us credit for every effort and every success. Even though our effort and successes are perhaps intermittent, there is no limit to what this law can do for you. Dare to believe in your own idea. Remember that nature is a plastic to the ideal. Think of the ideal as already accomplished fact. The real battle of life is one of ideas. It is being fought out by the few against the many. On the one side is a constructive and creative thought. On the other side is a destructive and negative thought. The creative thought is dominated by an ideal. The passive thought is dominated by the appearances. On the both sides are men of sciences, men of letters, and men of affairs. On the creative side are men who spend their time in labs or over microscopes and telescopes, side by side with men who dominate the commercial, political, and scientific world. On the negative side are men who spend their time investigating law and precedent. Men who mistake theology for a religion, statesmen who mistake might for right, and all the millions who seem to prefer precedent to progress, who are eternally looking backward instead of forward, who see only the world without, but know nothing of world within. In the last analysis, there are but these two classes. All men will have to take their place on one side or the other. They will have to go forward or go back. There is no standing still in a world where all is in motion. It is this attempt to stand still that gives sanction and force to arbitrary and unequal codes of law. That we are in a period of transition is evident by the unrest which is everywhere apparent. The complaint of humanity is as a roll of heaven artillery, commencing with a low and threatening note and increasing until the sound is sent from cloud to cloud and the lightning splits the air and the earth. The sentries who patrol the most advanced outposts of the industrial, political, and religious world are calling anxiously to each other. What of the night? The danger and insecurity of the position they occupy and attempt to hold is becoming more apparent every hour. The dawn of the new era necessarily declares that the existing order of things cannot much longer be. The issue between the old regime and the new, the crux of the social problem, is entirely the question of a conviction in the minds of the people as to the nature of the universe. When they realize that the transcendent force of spirit or mind of the cosmos is within each individual, it will be possible to frame laws that shall consider the liberties and rights of many instead of privileges of few. As long as the people regard the cosmic power as a power non-human and alien to humanity, it will be comparatively easy for a supposed privileged class to rule by a divine right in spite of every protest of social sentiment. The real interest of democracy is therefore to exalt, emancipate, and recognize the divinity of the human spirit. To recognize that all power is from within, and that no human being has any more power than any other human being, except such as many willingly be delegated to him. The old regime would have us believe that the law was superior to the lawmakers. Herein is the gist of the social crime of every form of privilege and personal inequality, institutionalizing fatalistic doctrine of divine election. The divine mind is the universal mind. It makes no exceptions. It plays no favors. It does not act through sheer caprice or from anger, jealousy, or wrath. Neither can it be flattered, cajoled, or moved by a sympathy or petition to supply man with some need which he thinks necessary for his happiness or even his existence. The divine mind makes no exceptions in favor of any individual, but when individual understands and realizes his unity with the universal principle, he will appear to be favored because he will have found the source of all health, all wealth, and all power. For your exercise this week, concentrate on the truth. Try to realize that the truth shall make you free. Nothing can permanently stand in the way of your perfect success when you learn to apply the scientifically correct thought methods and principles. Realize that you are externalizing in your environment your inherent soul potencies. Realize that the silence offers an ever available and almost unlimited opportunity for awakening the highest concept of truth. Try to comprehend that omnipotence itself is absolute silence. All else is change, activity, limitation. Silent thought concentrate is therefore the true method of reaching, awakening, and then expressing the wonderful potential power of the world within. The possibilities of thought training are infinite. It is consequence eternal. Few take their pains to direct their thinking into channels that will do them good, but instead leave all to chance. So in this lifetime, do not look down. Do not say you are nothing, cause nothing you want comes in your way. But your way of thinking leads you to where you are. Remember that you are greater. You are the most powerful. We are the greatest on this soul system. We have to change the way we think of ourselves. Change the way you think. And again, your thoughts must be positive thoughts, because thoughts is a vibration. So when you vibrate negativity, you are bringing down your vibrations. You are vibrating to a lower vibration when you should vibrate at the higher vibration where there is no limits. And remember, do not be scared when they say there is death. Death doesn't exist. We are all part of the universal creation. And the universal creation It doesn't have the start, the beginning, or the end. It is there. It all that is. There is no start. There is no end. We are part of that all that is, which we call here on this planet called God. So when we leave this physical realm, it doesn't mean we die. We get to live again. Energy. Remember, you are energy. Energy cannot die. Energy reboots. Energy restarts. So you wake up again into that spiritual realm. It's the same as when you go to sleep at night and you are having a dream. Your spiritual self is awakening. You are awakening. Then when that spiritual self is sleeping, you are awaking now from this physical self. I hope you understand. There is no death. Death doesn't exist. But the teachings which we are taught limits us from doing what we want, what we love. So there is a fear now. Remember, you are infinite. You are part of God, the all that is. You are part of God. Well, thank you for listening. And thank you to the new followers. And if you are new to this podcast, please hit the follow button and the rate button. You can rate from 1 star to 5 star. It's your choice. But again, thank you for listening. And stay tuned for this podcast. And I will publish more episodes in following days. And remember, you are powerful. So when you sleep every day, every night, say to yourself, I am that I am. I am that I am. And I am that I am, and that is enough. When you wake up, when you sleep, say that. I love you all, and peace out.